While doing research for this episode, I had two mind-blowing discoveries. To give you context, I grew up in Arkansas. I remember as a little girl, my sister and I would jump into the bathtub with a mattress over us on the regular. Now, this may sound strange to you, but if you grew up with tornado sirens going off on the regular, I assure you this is a normal practice for those who have a tornado coming their way. I remember being terrified of tornadoes, right? But I still kind of wanted to see one. And it's mostly because of that stinking movie with Jodie Foster in it. I kind of thought they were cool. But either way, I felt pretty edgy living right in the middle of what I believe to be called Tornado Valley, which I bragged about all the time. Fast forward to 2021. I'm over here Googling storm chasers in preparation for this episode and discover that there is no such Tornado Valley. And you know what? It's called an alley, a tornado alley. Arkansas, it's not even in it. I wasn't as hardcore as I thought I was. But here's the deal, y'all. Why are we drawn to things that are so dangerous? What is it deep within our souls that make us want to step out and chase things that others move aside from? And what can we learn from a real storm chaser about the presence of fear in our lives?
I've always felt immense fear.
I was born with several palsy.
I have always felt small.
I was told not to take risks.
I may be blind, but I teach people how to see.
And I'm proud to be an individual.
This podcast is for you, the unconventional leader.
Maybe you are the one that everyone discounted.
Maybe you struggle with fear and self-doubt.
We are here to empower the next generation of self-starters to step up.
Use their voice
and make an impact in this world.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to today's episode of Fidget Friday. If this is your first time listening, what is going on? My name is Heather Parody. I am your host, and we're doing Fidget Friday a little bit differently today. Normally, it's just me and you for a sec while we talk about things that are making me fidget and squirm in my unconventional journey. But today, I brought on a real life, yes, a real life tornado chaser. If there's one thing that could make us fidget, it's a live stinking tornado. But I met one, a real chaser. Her name is Chelsea Burnett, and she has witnessed 27 tornadoes ranging from 5-second EF0s to 90-minute EF4s. Is it EF0s, EFOs? I don't know. Point is, Chelsea's pretty hardcore. And you know what? She works a regular job, has a regular family, but every once in a while throws on her backpack, puts her hair in a ponytail, and chases down a stinking tornado. I wanted to bring her on because there's so much symbolism, I think, in the physical act that she is taking in chasing tornadoes, and there's a lot that we can learn chasing down the things we're afraid of and leaning into the uncomfortable, right? Is there a tornado, quote, quote, in your life right now that you're feeling drawn towards that maybe you feel like is dangerous? But let's back it up. I asked Chelsea when was the very first time she saw a tornado.
It was sixth grade earth sciences. I'll never forget it. Miss Shivers' class. Never forget her. We covered a chapter of weather, and that was like the most intriguing part of the year. And part of the class really was the one about weather. And then that following year, we had the most horrific outbreak of tornadoes. It was the May 3rd, 1999 tornado. So to be a kid and to be a part and witness an event like that was huge. And then Twister came out, you know, but before that, and I'd seen it 100 times. But yeah, all that was very influential.
All right, small break. I had to Google the 1999 tornadoes. According to weather.gov, on May 3rd, 1999, there were multiple what they call supercell thunderstorms that produced many large tornadoes in central Oklahoma. There are also tornadoes in Kansas, eastern Oklahoma, and Texas, with over 70 tornadoes being observed across the region. A total of 40 people were killed as a result of this, and 675 people were injured. There were many, obviously, businesses and homes that were damaged, with an estimated total of $1.2 billion. At the very beginning, I told a story about how me and my sister would jump in the bathtub, hollering to Jesus with a mattress on top of us, and I was literally convinced when I was a kid I would die from a tornado. That's my level of panic and anxiety when I saw a tornado. What was Chelsea thinking when she saw this?
I just wanted to know more about it. I wanted to know, you know, how I could be involved and just you know, what other people did to, you know, how did those people get on TV, or was that the only way that I could do it was being on TV? And a lot of people just assumed that was the path I was going to take, was that I would be on TV talking about weather. And deep down, I was like, no, I want to be out there. That's why I was watching out the window. I want to be under it and feel it.
Crazy, right? I know we're all wondering, did you go to school to study tornadoes?
After a failed attempt to get my degree in meteorology at OU, because I couldn't pass the math, it was way too hard, I dialed it down a bit, moved here to Texas, got my degree in business, which was smart and applicable toward wherever I might go or whatever I might do. Honestly, that's helped me out more in the real world than a degree in meteorology would have. While I was in school, someone at my job had told me, hey, Chelsea, there's this, you know, this weather thing that happens every year where people can go and learn more about how to chase storms and be a storm spotter. It's like, holy cow. So I went to that. A couple months later, there was an actual weather conference that happens every 2 years here in Dallas-Fort Worth, and it's called TESSA. And that's where I met the owner of Texas Storm Chasers, David Reimer. So we, you know, became friends. And the next year he said, hey, you want to go chasing? You know, and I went out with him a couple times, didn't really see much. You know, I got to stand underneath a wall cloud and I had him take my picture underneath it because it was that cool. But that was the extent of it till about 2015.
Okay, this is one thing I've never really known about storm chasers. Like when we saw in Twister, you chase a storm and they put the robot in it so those little robots could fly around so they could get data. When you catch the tornado, what do you do?
We just take pictures of it. We video it. We just sit and marvel in it. Like, we are not a retimber. That's like the real life, you know, Bill from Twister.
This is just fun.
It's fun for us. Yes, absolutely. And we make a little bit of money on the side if a network, a local or national news network, wants to pick up our video or pictures and air it. We have a media broker for that. So otherwise, yes, it's purely for fun.
Are you afraid of dying ever?
No. And I get asked that all the time when I do my weather talks. They always ask, Chelsea, is there any time that you were ever afraid? And it's like, not really. I've been nervous a couple times, but never truly to my core afraid. That's after seeing 27 tornadoes and counting. We'll see what 2021 brings us, but just never a moment of being afraid.
How come?
I think one is I feel very confident in the company that I'm in. I feel very confident in how we approach the storm. But I also have this weird tingly, like, if I die this way, this is the best way that someone like me could die in a tornado, you know? So it's not that I seek out for that, but I'm okay with the decision. As a mom, it's weird for me to say that because I have an 8-year-old son, you know, and I have a spouse, but he also storm chases.
When you do feel nervous?
There's only been a couple times I felt nervous. One of them was the biggest tornado we ever chased, which was an EF4 in Kansas, May 25th, 2016. And we're less than a quarter mile away from this thing. It's to our east. It's moving east, northeast, and we're behind it. So it's moving away from us. Sometimes tornadoes like to do their own thing, and it started to kind of dance around and backtrack west a little bit toward us. So, you know, not only do we have to worry about the tornado itself, but there's like the outer circulation of the tornado, and then there's something called a rear flank downdraft, which is just a big burst of wind that wraps around the storm that can be just as dangerous as the tornado itself. So we're in that area, and I'm like, okay, this tornado's coming at us. We're in this rear flank downdraft. We're getting these winds. So we had to like head south really quick just to stay out of harm's way. So that's not the only time. Other than that,
what do you think is the difference between like the physical fear of doing something like that and also to maybe internal fears that you face? So maybe you're not afraid of this, but I'm sure there's other things that you're afraid of. What's the difference between physical fear and internal fear? Because you've had a very real experience with both, I'm sure.
Yes, I would say I've been more afraid of talking in front of people. Internally, I suffer from, I don't want to say suffer, but I have a stutter. I think I've always been more afraid of that than actual the physical being in front of a tornado. But speaking in front of people, it still kind of gets to me. But I don't know. I think with chasing storms too, it's something that makes me happy. I'm not ever really afraid of it because I'm doing something that I love and that I'm happy and that's my ultimate goal. So like the fear of dying just never crosses because it's like, I'm super happy in this moment. So if this were my last moment right now, that would be okay. Yeah. I don't quite grasp fear when it comes to doing something that I love.
Y'all weren't expecting that turn, were you? Her tornado isn't really the tornado. It's public speaking. I'm so grateful she shared this because we can look at people like her who chase tornadoes and do physically dangerous things, but we all have our own thing that we're afraid of. And that makes us feel insecure or is difficult to address. I don't think there are some people necessarily more brave than others. We all have to face our own fear, right? For me, talking on this podcast is super easy. I've been doing it for years now, but it made me ask myself, what am I avoiding? What tornado in my life am I feeling drawn to, but am afraid to chase?
You told me that you wanted to start sharing more about the stuttering thing. How come?
I didn't think it would resonate with as many people as it has.
Really?
I gave a presentation to a school last week, and the principal was like, I was speaking with my speech pathologist the other day, and she was looking you up because I sent them a bio and my links and stuff. And she goes, she noticed that you posted something a while back about having a stutter. She goes, do you mind elaborating on that at the end of the presentation so that the kids can hear it? And I did. And after that, I got two or three Instagram messages from various teachers saying, thank you for sharing this. And in that moment, as a mom, you know, I think about influencing other kids in a positive way, but I never thought about taking my own struggles and using that to help other kids. So that's mainly the reason why I'm coming out more and more about it, is to kind of normalize it and to put a normal face to stuttering, you know, because people who have a speech impediment, they're very withdrawn, they're very introverted, not extroverted, social like I am. So I'm just trying to bridge the two and normalize it for kids.
Yeah, what's that like, being extroverted and wanting to use your voice, but also too being insecure about your voice?
It's draining because it's like a constant fight of two forces.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to find that happy middle ground to where I'm constantly pushing myself out there, but also taking the time to take a deep breath and relax and calm down, because I have the excitement of sharing my story, but I also have the nervousness of stuttering at some point. And those are like constantly trying to do that. So it wears me out, but I'm learning more and more really how to balance it out and to cope with it at the same time.
We talked earlier a little bit about fear going after what you really want. Do you have thoughts or advice for those who may be listening who genuinely want to pursue something that's outside of the box? Maybe they don't have the courage that you have.
Absolutely. My courage wasn't just natural. I had to wait until I was forced out of my normal routine. You know, I was in a corporate America position for 7 years. I was in a marriage for 4. We had just bought a house. My son was, you know, just a little over a year old. And then his dad filed for divorce. And that was just a waking moment for me, was, okay, I guess I'm not that happy. I thought I was. And I was just kind of, you know, suppressing it just so that everybody else feels comfortable around me. You know, my son, my ex-husband, you know, all of our family, coworkers. Don't wait for something that dramatic to make you want to go after. I wish I wasn't 30 years old, 5 years ago, just starting out doing what I was doing. I wish I started this at 25, but I started nonetheless. So don't be afraid to pull that plug. Don't make someone else pull that plug for you. You pull that plug and you do it now, and you make that plan now, and you just work toward it. You know, leverage your social network, leverage the fact that there's social media and there's other people out there like us. So don't wait for someone else to pull that plug for you. Do it yourself and make that plan, and everything else will fall into place. It always does.
You know, you're not really dealing with people. You're dealing with like Mother Nature, which is super interesting and something that is even more interesting and unpredictable. And I was wondering, like, through your experience of becoming really engrossed in studying something like Mother Nature, right? When you look back at people and observe people and listen to people, what are maybe some lessons or things that you've seen just about us as human beings through the journey of watching storms?
I love that question. The first thing that pops into my mind is, no matter how well we think we know the storm pattern, no matter how well we think we know the people around us, watching these people revolve around us, we think we have an idea of what's going on. Mm-hmm. But like chasing these storms, we think we have an idea of what's going on, and then something just happens and it's like, holy cow, well, you were not expecting that. I think that teaches me grace. That teaches me grace to not hold on to my assumptions of what people are doing or what they're going through and why I think they're doing those things or why I think they've been silent or why I think they're being vocal. It gives me the grace to kind of consider all those options. It gives me the grace to say, actually, there's probably something I don't know, so I'm not going to take offense to that. You know, the weather teaches, it's like, it's so unpredictable, and we don't know until we're going through it. So that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Now, we have this segment on the show called Unsung Hero. I ask guests who is a person in their life who made a big impact
a couple of my family members, my grandmother and my dad. I think my dad is the one. I just grew up watching him struggle through a divorce. Like, I was a product of a very tumultuous divorce as a kid, but my dad held strong and he had passions. Like, he took his kids camping. He loved photography. I truly feel like that my spirit and my ambition and my drive to do better came from him. And, you know, when you're working full time, you're trying to provide for five kids, you know, three of those are his stepkids, and you have all this stuff going on, you know, you tend to get overlooked because you're trying to take care of everyone else. But now me as a parent, I'm going to get emotional on this. Oh my gosh. I don't think my dad realizes just how important him holding it together and him being positive and him just pushing forward and just doing those fun things with us kind of created that in me. And, you know, I went through a divorce. You know, no one ever grows up thinking they're going to do the same thing, but, you know, he showed me kind of what to do and it just made me a better mom for my son. And so I would first and foremost have to say my dad. And then my grandmother, you know, she's in the background cheering me on and she's always talking about just how proud she is of me. And I think a lot of people just don't hear that enough from their family members. You know, we're all in our different silos of life, you know, going through our own daily life. And then we talk to each other every now and then, you know, we exchange pleasantries, but we never hear that, like, hey, I am proud of you. And my grandmother was that person for me. So those are two people that I come up with at first.
All right. Before our very last question, I want to give a big shout out to Chelsea from stormchasers.com. That is linked in the show notes. Make sure you check her out. Give her some love and send her some prayers, y'all, because it's tornado season up in the Tornado Valley, Alley, whatever it's called. Very last question I asked her, if you could go back to that woman who hadn't yet started chasing her dreams, leaning into the uncomfortable, the unconventional, and go back and sit with her and tell her one thing, what would you say?
Ooh, that hit me in the heart. Oh, that it's going to be okay. And that oh my God, there's just so much. Cause I can just see it. I can just see that moment that you're talking about. It actually popped up on my timeline, a couple weeks ago.
Tell me about it. I want to hear.
Oh gosh. I attended that weather conference for the first time in 2011. And it was just for a weekend. It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We flew home on Sunday. And that Monday morning when I woke up, I cried. And my fiance at the time, he didn't understand. He's like, what's wrong? You just got back from the best weekend you supposedly had, because he didn't understand my passion for weather. And I'm like, I'm so unhappy. Like, I just met all these people and I know that there's more people out there like me, but I feel so stuck and I feel so like this isn't me. And how did I get here? And so I made a status about it. I was like, I have never felt this way. Some things need to change. And they changed a little, like I branched out a little, but if I were to go back to that moment where I was sitting on that bed crying, and I cried for 2 days after that, it would be that everything happens for a reason and to hold on that the best is coming, to not force it, but things happen for a reason. I wouldn't have my son right now if I had acted on that a different way. So it would be that to hold on tight and it'll be okay and the best is coming.
I love how she said, I know there's more people like me, but I feel stuck. Have you ever felt that way, my friends? I have to constantly remind myself that I am not stuck. Like Chelsea says, everything happens for a reason. The best is coming. We can change. We can adjust. And if we have air in our lungs, my friend, we can chase our own tornadoes. Love you guys. In your corner. See you next week.